All right. Well, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry K.B., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, November 29th, and this is our 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 6 on page 72 in Into Action, starting with the first paragraph, beginning with having made our personal inventory. And we'll be reading this one paragraph only, ending in the preceding chapter. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph. Today's readers are Gracie D. for the 12 steps, Des M. for the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Jordan L., Julie E. B., and Kathy Jo P. Our newcomer greeter today is Janice P. M., and Reggie O. will give our announcements, and Lynn S. is recording us this morning. Thank you, Lynn. And the share ID for yesterday, Thursday, November 28, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,728. That's 13728. And the share ID for this morning's Friday, November 29, 2019, our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,734. That's 13734. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Gracie D. to read the 12 steps. Gracie? Star 1 to unmute, please. Gracie D., are you there?
Gracie D., compulsive overeater. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
And thank you, Gracie D., for your service. Des M. will be reading our 12 traditions this morning of OA. Deb, good morning. Des.
Hi, good morning, Sherry. These are our 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees, somebody's unmuted, directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service.
And thank you, Desmond, for your service this morning. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and that does also include the mute button on your phone, so please don't use that, and no speakers, please, and please press star 1 to mute and unmute your phone. That way we can have a nice, quiet meeting. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 72, and we're in the chapter Into Action. And we're going to be reading that first paragraph this morning, having made our personal inventory, ending in the preceding chapter. And Jordanelle, would you please start reading?
Good morning, Sherry, and everybody else online. My name is Jordanelle. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado this weekend. So having made our personal inventory, what shall we do about it? We have been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and to discover the obstacles in our path. We have admitted certain defects. We've ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is. We have put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. Now these are about to be cast out. This requires action on our part, which completed will mean that we have admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our defects. This brings us to the fifth step in the program of recovery mentioned in the preceding chapter. As I was reading this morning, the first thing that came to mind is this is like our first example of faith without works is dead, right? Because yesterday morning's chapter outlined, there is a big step that's made by making our personal inventory, but it is only a beginning. Like truly, it's only the start of this honesty thing. This honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness thing. These foundational principles that I'm going to do my best to live up to from here on out, right? And this is the first time where it's like, okay, we're really doing some work here, you know? And I see the fifth step as running very parallel with step two, where I can't really fake it. This is the point in the program where, like, I have to have, like, a real honest desire to be open to this, you know? I have to have a real honest desire to be open to something new, a different way of living. And luckily, by the time I had made my four step, I was pretty well convinced that my way was not the way to proceed forward any longer. And I actually, after fist stepping, I actually realized that there was stuff that it was going to be really hard to let go of, like really ingrained character defects that I had had since I was a little kid, man, that I had learned in childhood that I did not know how I was going to be able to let go of them. Like, truly, the only way was going to be with lots and lots and lots and lots of practice of turning them over, over and over and over and over again. And knowing that I'm cared for and protected. Truly, all I have to do is relinquish them, because that's what I'm using them for, is protection. So, anyway, the fifth step is it's a real door opener. When you're truly at the point where you're open to something new, to a new way, a new design for living. And that's all I got this morning.
Thanks, Jordan L. Thank you for getting us started. So, going to remind everybody, we're in Chapter 6, Into Action. We're going to read that first paragraph, beginning with having made our personal inventory, and we're going to read that one paragraph only. Who would like to read? Who would like to share this morning?
Penny L.C.
Julie E.B.
Julie E.B.
Carrie F.
I'm sorry, two people came at one. I think I heard a Carrie.
Carrie S. in Oregon.
F is in Frank or S is in Sam?
Sam.
Thank you, Carrie S. And who came in with Carrie?
Liz S.
Liz. Liz S. is in Sam?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Liz. Okay, I have room for two more. Come on in.
Jackie H.
Okay, I heard Jackie H. And then somebody was kind of right in with Jackie. Who else was that, please?
Melanie C.
Melanie.
Reggie.
I hear Melanie and Reggie. Reggie, I'll take you on the next round. You'll be the first.
Great,
on the
thanks.
Next round. All right. We have Melanie C. All right. So this is who I have: Penny L. C., Julie E. B., Carrie S., Liz S., Jackie H., and Melanie C. All right. Penny L. C., please begin. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry, for your service and good morning. Good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And I did want to comment on just even the title of this chapter as we begin Into Action. It helps me to remember that I need to be willing to take action, not just analyze, not just think, not just talk, but actually take action. And I appreciate that in this paragraph, it's giving me the purpose of step five to understand why I'm doing this step. You know, it says we've been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and to discover the obstacles in our path and admitting those defects. I get to see what my trouble is, put my finger on it, and then to cast it out, be willing to give it away. But who am I going to give it away to? Because my ego would love to just say, oh, well, I can just pray about it with God, and that'll be good, you know. But the truth of the matter is, no matter how my intention to be honest and forthright, if I were to just be praying to my higher power, would be, I also know that that's not going to give me a full open perspective, that it will if I share it with another human being. Because I believe my higher power will be able to work through that person and help show me where I may be misinterpreting something, maybe misunderstanding something, maybe skewed in my thinking just because of believing something for so long, thinking that it's correct. And being able to have an objective person who cares for the process and who understands the process and who's willing to come alongside and gently guide me through the process and help me see my truth, that's just an invaluable gift. And it's going to help me along my journey. So while that was a challenge to be willing to give everything over to another person, I can see the value of it and know that this is God's will for me to be able to do this and to share so that I can hear all of my truth and not be missing anything. So I'm grateful for step five and what it has revealed to me. And thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny L.C. Julie E.B., you're up, followed by Terry S. Good morning, Julie E.B.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered here in Colorado Springs. What should we do about it? You know, it's interesting. I used to take my inventory all the time, and what I did about it was just decide I was a piece of garbage and might as well pick up another bite, might as well pick up another bag of cookies, might as well do the same old thing that I've always done. And excuse my frog. But we have been trying, it says, to get a new attitude, new relationship with our Creator. For me, this is when my Creator, through the living flesh and blood of my sponsor, or through the work that I do on this inventory, sharing it first with my God as I put it on paper, and then my newly discovered higher power, and then with myself, to discover what are the obstacles in my path. And I've admitted this certain defects, rough way what the trouble is, finger on these. But now these are going to get cast out, and this is going to take some action. And bringing these out of the dark, out of the shame, into just simply things that make me human, admitting it to another human being who's likely, I remember the day everything turned, or one day everything turned around for me. I had a traditional sponsor, and I start telling her one of my deep, dark food secrets, stealing $2 soup from my employer, because I was so resentful. And they just said, oh, I got somewhere else to go. They were not really that invested, and they were, you know, in the food at the time. So I called someone else, which we can do. We can keep trying, keep persisting. And that person said, oh, yeah, I've done that. And wow, it was like the air being let out of a really tight balloon, or the air just exhaling from my lungs. What I found in my many, and I just did a couple weeks, but in my many resentments, was that they all had me in common in a way that I would brainstorm and then talk about things and keep rehashing them on a gerbil wheel over and over again. I found with my fears, every time I had a fear, I was depending on other people, places, and things, or myself, for my care and protection, direction, connection, sense of worth, sense of security. And when I did my guilt, I found out in my harms, I found out in my relationships, I was living in mush-mush land, and assuming I was really bad, pretending with them that I was superior or better, and not being very clear about the things I could and couldn't control, the things I needed to accept and let go, and the things that I had the courage to change inside myself. So this is a beautiful step, and it's a step in the program of recovery. And what a promise that is, to take another step. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
And thank you, Julie E.B. Terry S., you're up, followed by Liz S. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. Yes, good morning, everyone. This is Terry S. in Bend, Oregon. Very snowy, cold Bend, Oregon. I love this chapter, and I've heard other speakers talk about it. It doesn't say into thinking. It says into action. Of course, I'd rather just sit and think. So it goes against my addict brain. And by the way, I am a recovered food addict up here. The thing that really spoke to me in this section is we're going to discover the obstacles in our path. And I am so clear today that I am the obstacle. My ego, my self-will is the obstacle. I block my own relationship with my higher power. And with the 12 steps, as we march through it, as I march through it, I identify more and more that my character defects are fear, whether it's anger or an actual fear, they're all fear-based. And that keeps me stuck in being the ego and being the obstacle. So my prayer is for my higher power to remove myself from my own path, allow my higher power to shine through. And what I've learned in the 12 steps over the years is the only way that that happens is if I'm willing to take action. I can't sit in my meditation chair and contemplate my navel. I can't do my program in a solitary way. I have to take massive action in order to defeat and triumph over this addiction that I have, because the fear is so insidious that I have no defense against it, and my only answer is to overeat. So I'm very, very grateful for these steps and for the recovery that I hear on these lines and the face-to-face meetings that I go to. It has saved my life, and I'm so very grateful today because I have a life. So that's all I have. Thank you very much, and everybody have a great day. Thanks.
And thank you, Terry S. And Liz S., you're up, followed by Jackie H. Good morning, Liz.
Excuse me. Hi, it's Liz S., a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. And a few things that really struck me in the beginning of this paragraph. One of the things that I really believe is a promise is that the sentence that says, now these are about to be cast out. And I find that a very positive sentence, because to me it says that, you know, many of my defects, and of course it's over time, are going to be cast out. I've identified them. I know what they are. And I'm not going to have to live with them for the rest of my life, assuming that I'm willing to do some work. And the other thing, too, is that I've been given a new awareness of who I've been all my life, but also who I can be. You know, if I think of who I've been, you know, carrying these defects and living with these defects, I now know who I can be, you know, what God's will is for me, what the psychic changes, what that Jung talks about, that Dr. Silkworth talks about, what is that change? It's the opposite of all these things that I've learned in my fourth step. And I found that very encouraging and actually very exciting, because I put my finger on all these problems that I've been causing myself all my life. And since we've ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is, and I think that leads me to understand why I've got to talk to someone else, because someone else is going to help me to understand even more clearly what my part is. Have me, you know, help me to have an even better understanding than I could have alone on my part, on my own, looking over that fourth column on my fourth step. I've never, ever had someone be surprised or aghast or astounded by anything that I've turned over. Most of the time, they've nodded and, you know, agree and done the same thing or been completely bored, which is fine. But no one has ever been, you know, shocked by anything that I've had to say. And this is a very encouraging paragraph, and I must turn this stuff over or it stays with me where it is going to poison me, I really believe. I have to let somebody else know. And from there, I go on to getting rid of these defects on God's time, but certainly they become less and less a part of my daily living. Thanks. Oh, I pass.
And thank you, Terry S. And Liz S., you're up, followed by Jackie H. Good morning, Liz. Actually, that was Liz. Sorry about that. Okay, Jackie H., you're up, followed by Melanie C.
Good morning, Sherry. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everybody. This is Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. I love this part. Okay, we have been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and to discover the obstacles in our path. I love the progression. We're doing all this work. We're going to get a new attitude, right? We're going to get to change our mind. We're going to get a psychic change. We're going to get to see things differently. And in doing that, it's going to build a new relationship with our Creator. And from that place, we get to discover the obstacles in our path. I love that progression because if I, before I came into program, before I began to have a new attitude and a new relationship, I couldn't see the obstacles in my path. I was too afraid to look at the obstacles in my path because I thought I was such a bad person. And so much shame and fear in my life. And I just kept digging a deeper hole and a deeper hole and changing addictions and screwing up relationships and all the above. But then as I get in this book and I get a new attitude, I change my mind, I get this psychic change. And then my relationship with my higher power, with my Creator, with my God changes. And I realize that, oh my gosh, this God that I used to have was so small and so condemning and so shaming, but that's not my God for today. I get to see this God who loves me and wraps me in His love and absolutely has no judgment of me whatsoever. He created me in His likeness, and that means I, in my essence, am perfect. I have all of these ego shit that I've piled on top of me, and that's what these obstacles to my path are. And they're not the true me, but I must look at them. I must not glaze over them and go on my merry way because they will keep coming up because this ego wants to run the show. And so I get to look, but I get to look from a different perspective. I don't have to hide under a blanket when I give this step away because I'm looking at it from a different place. The obstacles in my path, I look at them today almost like blocks to love. And when I pray the seventh step prayer, I ask that God will remove all the defenses, my character defenses and my obstacles that keep me, my obstacles to love, my obstacles, the blocks to love that keep me from being of maximum service to my God and my fellows. And it's a beautiful picture. I never even honestly looked at that until this morning, the progression of the new attitude, the new relationship, and then the obstacles. So thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
And thank you, Jackie H. And before we hear from Melanie C., I'm just going to remind everybody where we're at. We're in Chapter 6, Into Action, on the first paragraph. Having made our personal inventory, we're going to read a comment on that one paragraph only, and I'll take some more names after we hear from Melanie C. and Reggie O. Melanie, please. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hi, good morning, Sherry KB. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C., a recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon, and I'm looking at this paragraph and listening very carefully to everyone share and being touched so deeply, and this talks to me about community, something that I didn't have when my world got so small in this sickness and disease, and I certainly wouldn't let anybody know what it was that I was up to or take a peek at what was what it looked like inside my house. And this inventory is all about looking at having somebody look at what's going on inside my house, and I smile thinking about the very first fifth step that I did, and it was all shaped and formed and guided with a lot of facade to it. I wanted the folks that were listening to it, the woman that was listening to it, to not have a bad idea about me. So it was mildly crafted. And thank God for recovery, I've gotten to be more honest, because I know how much I need a power greater than myself in order to be different than what it is about my particular nature. My nature is the nature of an addict. And I don't know what's truly buried down underneath all that stuff. It's outside of something that drove me in addiction to be hateful, to be mean, to be cruel, to be dishonest, to steal, to be hardened, and all those kinds of things. And when I was able to sit down with somebody and share that for the first time, honestly, I knew that community was where it was going to need to be for me. Community being that this, what I call in a loving way, this trilogy triage, admitted to God, to myself, and to another human being. The exact nature of my wrongs is the way it's written on page 59, of course, here on 72, is the exact nature of my defects. The things within me that are different than that of an average person, that filters through my brain the things that I can't think and see things normally. I have twisted thinking, absolute twisted thinking. So I'm looking at now, how am I going to align with principles and ideals that are against my nature? In terms of reacting to life, my nature is how I react to life, and it was opposite of what the rest of the world was seeing and doing. How am I going to do that? And I get to look at things and share with somebody else absolute honesty, practice absolute unselfishness, practice absolute purity, practice absolute love against that particular nature and share it with somebody else. I had an opportunity yesterday to take to three other people something that I was looking at, seeing that only my eyes and can see a different way that was not what other people were seeing. And I couldn't let go of the fact that I wasn't able to do it any differently. But because I have this village of people, this community of people, with the fifth step, admitting to somebody else what it was that I was going to be up to before I did anything else with the pause, I don't have a hangover today. I have no regrets, no amends to make today. Each and every day, this particular fifth step shows up in my life, and I work it because my hair is on fire and thought I pass.
So, again, we're on page 72, the first paragraph, and I'm going to take some more names. The first person I have is Reggie O. Who else like to share this morning?
Does M.
Kara L.
Does M.
Irene B.
Kara L.
Ann B.
Ann B.
Robin P.
Was that Robin Jo P?
Robin P.
Robin P. Okay.
Irene B.
And Irene B. All right. So I have Reggie O, Des M, Kara L, Ann B, Robin P, and Irene B. Go ahead, please, Reggio. You'll be followed by Des M. Good morning, Reggie.
Good morning, Sherry, and thank you for your service. Everybody who's on the line this morning, this is Reggie O, gratefully recovered here in the Los Angeles area. And boy, you know, this, what a paragraph. I've read it before, but what a paragraph it is this morning, especially, you know, listening to all of you share. You know what struck me, and it struck me only once before, is it says, you know, that this requires action on our part, which when completed will mean that we have admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our defects, which earlier in the paragraph it says, to the obstacles in our path. I'm about to share with someone, myself included, God included, and someone else, the obstacles that have been in my path for my entire life. And I get to release them. And then there's this part about a new relationship with our Creator, right? So earlier on in the steps, I have learned, you know, and I learn every time I go through the steps, I have to get a new relationship with my Creator, and it needs to keep growing and growing. One time I was going through the steps, and it was on step 5, and I heard that line, you know, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs, and I thought, what happened to admitted to God? You know, where did that happen for me as a result of this process? I've never admitted these things to God, you know. I've just done the process. I sat down and I did what I was told, and then, you know, I had all this fear about what someone else would think, but I did that, and they always said, you know, I've been there, done that, you know, and I felt better. And I thought, wow, but I've never really sat down with God and had this conversation, admitted these defects. And it was really touching. It was because that has been getting a new relationship, an intimate relationship with my higher power, has been quite challenging for me. As much as I've desired it, you know, to be able to sit and honestly, humbly have an intimate conversation with my God. And so I'm reminded this morning that it is that humble, intimate relationship with my God in everything that is the ultimate, you know. It's first admitted to God, you know, and then admitted to myself, this is what I've done, been there, done that, and then another human being, which, you know, we've heard is certainly, you know, God with skin on that we get help with. And it's really a powerful process that I, for myself, it's really important for me to remember all three of these pieces, because sometimes, you know, sometimes in this process, this step, I have left God out. I have forgotten about and assumed, you know, that was just a part of the line, but it's the first part of the line I've admitted to God. And so I just want to keep that in my own mind fresh today. And, you know, these obstacles that have been in my path, I get to, you know, there is a promise, you know, I get to release them. And thank you for keeping my time, and I'll pass with that.
Thank you, Reggie O. Des M., you're up, followed by Kara L. Good morning, Des.
Good morning, Sherry. Thank you so much for your service. And I'm super grateful to be on the line, grateful to be abstinent today, and to be able to show up here and to have showed up yesterday, you know, out of the food and being useful. There's a few things that are popping up for me. Definitely the requirement. This requires action. And it just reminds me of, you know, the 12 traditions. Is it in the traditions that I just read? The only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. And there's different requirements that this book tells us if we want a spiritual awakening, if we want to be clear, like unblocked, and to have that relationship with our higher power. Thank God there's no requirement for OA membership, though, because, you know, it just beautifully works itself out, I think. And I got to go to a marathon meeting face-to-face yesterday, and, you know, I was in spiritual fit condition just for that day, and I got to be open-minded to, like, people working different programs than me and connecting to their higher powers differently. And that's a beautiful thing, because when I'm in, you know, I have my magnifying glass on and I'm looking at other people's programs, not in a loving way, but because I don't feel like I'm enough and I need to compare, it doesn't serve me or them. So I'm grateful for that. And I also love that I heard practice absolute love and absolute honesty, and that practice came into it, because action, for me and my perfectionism defect, which is a big one for me, I think that working these steps means to perfect them still. And that's what my ego tells me when I'm, you know, like a little bit disconnected. My ego likes to remind me that, like, I should know everything. So I'm reminded today, like, when we work this program, we're practicing these steps in all of our affairs. We're not perfecting them. It's a process. And, you know, the absolute love and honesty for me these days is the unknown. And that's what my higher power is, the unknown that I don't have to figure out, but I know deep in my soul in a way that I can't explain, and I don't have to, like, that somehow I'm living today and, like, useful, and I can't control my higher power's love or what that unknown is. And that is confusing sometimes. And so I'm just really grateful to be willing to keep doing these fifth steps on a daily with, like, the 10th step, and be willing to be in that vulnerable place that I was, you know, in one day this week, and like do a 10th step when I am feeling shameful because some feelings came up and I'm in self. I'm grateful that I have fellows, a sponsor that I can call and get honest with. And part of the 5th step is, you know, that I get this gift of this program to have somebody tell me the truth. And for that, I'm super grateful. Thank you so much for having the meeting. I hope everyone has a blessed day. Thanks. I pass.
And thank you, Des M. Kara L., you're up, followed by Ann B. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thank you to everybody who is here today doing service. It was so nice to be able to call in and hear familiar voices. Thank you. You are my family. Having made our personal inventory, and I'll say, you know, it's just, I love that this book is pretty straightforward. It's going to tell us what to do about it, right? And it's just the way this book takes us through and says, okay, now do this. All right, now we're going to move on to this. And, you know, it says we've been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator. And that's exactly what I have since I reworked my steps. And, you know, I did 4 steps before, and I think they were very valuable. And this last go around that I did, this last one, I just, every step of the way, I asked my higher power, is there anything else I need to put on here? Is there anything else? Because I just wanted to discover the obstacles in my path. I wanted to know, you know, what is standing in the way between me and my higher power, you know? And then I love, because it's going to tell us what to do about that. And I know today that when I'm in self, I put a big roadblock. I can't hear my higher power. And I like to say that my higher power works a really good, strong program and won't give me an opinion unless asked. And so that's my job, right? My job is to ask with everything, you know, which this morning, bananas or strawberries for breakfast. And I just kind of go with what I feel intuitively, right? You know, this lipstick or this lipstick, what do I feel intuitively? And I'm working every day on that new relationship with my higher power. You know, yesterday, got into a little fear. I was able to say, oh, wait a minute, God, I'm not in charge here. Please give me an intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision on what to do here. And was able to let it go. You know, I said something yesterday in jest that wasn't kind. And thankfully, my aunt can say, that wasn't very kind. And I could look at her honestly and said, you're right, it wasn't. And I apologize. Right in the moment, I could do that. That's, you know, instead of sitting in, oh, I did this bad. No, this is, you know, just say, oh, yeah, my behavior was not okay there. And that's a miracle today, a miracle of our program. So I'm so happy that everybody's here. I look forward to hearing to more shares. Love the ones I've already heard today. Much love to you all. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kara L. And Ann B., you're up, followed by Robin P. Good morning, Ann.
Hi, this is Ann, compulsive overeater. And I don't like that word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 15 years. For me, step 5 was about learning how to talk. One of the things that I've learned about in various programs is my... this concept of do not talk rules that exist in dysfunctional families. And so instead of talking, instead of using my words, I ate. And when I learned to talk, I became freer anyway. And I also learned that many of the things that I was most ashamed to discuss were actually the things that made me human. And I had an aspiration, which I still am working to overcome, of being sort of a robot who never had weaknesses, who never had failures, who always performed perfectly and calmly and made everyone around her happy all the time. And that's not being human. And one of the great gifts to me of program was this concept of hearing everyone's stories and telling my own and realizing that, you know, I'm not terminally unique, that I'm part of the human race, that many people suffer with what I suffer with, that when I share, I allow others to share. If I make myself vulnerable, I allow others to make themselves vulnerable, and we all become freer together. And this was a very alien concept for me. I grew up thinking that my responsibility was to sit alone in my room and never touch anything to avoid aggravating my high drama parents. And I thought that the greatest gift I could give to the world was to be absent. Being able to come out and be a human being in the world has been very freeing. So I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Ann B. And Robin P., you're up, followed by Irene B. Good morning, Robin.
Thanks so much. Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. And thanks so much for your service. And I'm really grateful to be on the meeting. You know, I've been through a few fifth steps, and I've also taken people through fifth steps. And I love that it says this requires action on our part, because I was so in my head in the disease. And, that substituting the word thinking for, you know, eating and just going through the steps, you can just see that it's not the way to recovery. Is I can't think myself well. I need to ask myself well and in a surrendered way. And I love that it says we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our defects. It's not doing this in isolation. Isolation was the disease for me. And this is about trusting another person enough to go through the steps and share what needs to be cast out. And, you know, when it says cast out, it just reminds me of an exorcism, you know. And I get to have a new attitude and a new relationship with God and with my fellows and just see what's blocked me. And I think this paragraph is so just really well written, of course, you know, and just sums it up, you know. My new attitude yesterday in recovery was that I got to be with my father-in-law, who's in an assisted living facility, and then also my stepmom, my husband's stepmom, and be of service and completely be present and in service and in love to them. And, you know, I was so giving yesterday, and I was so in gratitude that I got to be used for good. I always pray, dear God, please use my gifts for good. And it's such a blessing to be able to experience that. And, you know, in the old days before recovery, I've been abstinent for 4 years. And when I was not abstinent, I was not there for other people. I did not care about other people. I was in so much woe is me and self-pity, you know, pour me a drink. You know, I was just so negative that I would not have cared and seen the needs that needed to be met and have done my best to meet them. And I wouldn't have been present for them because I was so wrapped up in my own lack of getting my needs met according to what I was feeling. So I'm really grateful to be here. I'm so grateful to be able to show up abstinently and participate in life today and to keep recovering in the steps. God bless everybody in your recoveries, and I pray that you'll have an absolute blessed day. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin B. Irene B., you're up. Actually, you know what? I'm sorry, Irene B., we have ran out of time. We've got a sorry about that. I hope you can share on Monday, but we have ran out of time. Sorry about that, everybody. I do want to thank Team Friday for the month of November. Des Gracie D, Des M, Jordan L, Julie E. B, and Kathy Jo P joined us today. Janice P. M. and Reggie O. and Lynn S. for doing our recording. So a big hand for all of us, and thank you for a fabulous meeting this morning. And with that, we're going to read page 164. Julie B. will be doing that for us this morning. And we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Julie B., will you please read, "Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then." Julie? Star 1 to unmute, please. Julie B.? Kathy Jo, can you step in, please?
Kathy Jo P., our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and